there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
The great Brian Mahoney joins us now at Brian C. Mahoney on Twitter. Covers the NBA for the Associated Press. He was at the game last night. Knicks were down 21. Came back to win, but the big story was what happened earlier in the day. Randle out for the year. And good to talk to you, my friend. Thanks for getting up. Something's not adding up here, right? Because they said he wasn't cleared for contact, but Randle said he got hurt and aggravated the injury in a drill. What gives?
Yeah, you know, their story isn't exactly adding up. You know, they may just have different definitions of words. You know, Randle, what he thinks is contact, maybe not be what Tom Thibodeau is. What Randle says is a setback. Thibodeau seems to think maybe it was more just sort of it was hurting him too much that he didn't get re-injured, like Randle said. So, you know, you can't be exactly sure what it actually all means. But the bottom line is it sounds like he was aiming toward moving up and then had something go wrong and had to throw the towel. It's too bad for the Knicks because they really felt like, and he felt like he was going to be able to come back in April.
Well, doesn't it get worse because there's a chance he's not ready for the start of next year also? He has to be reevaluated. When we're talking months down the line, too?
Yeah, well, that's the point, too. It's true. You know, if you knew he wasn't going to be able to come back, you would have said do the surgery right then and there, knowing how long the recovery time is. But waiting as long as they did now, 5 months before he's evaluated again, that takes you into September, obviously. Training camp is the end of the month. So, you know, in reality, he probably is not ready for or very hard to be ready for the start of next season. But you know, it was worth the risk, I think, knowing how good their potential was this year to wait as long as you could before making that decision. I understand why they did it.
What's the status on OG?
Well, Thibodeau sounded optimistic there. You know, it's been weird with that one because he obviously came back from elbow surgery, played 3 games, went out again. No one's really sure if he was actually re-injured or maybe just wasn't ready yet when he came back. But, you know, he sounded yesterday, said he's practicing fully again. He's missed now. This will be, I think he played 9 in a row now, but he said he's doing well. So if he gets back, Mitchell Robinson has come back. At least they get 2 out of 3. You know, they don't get Randle, but they get 2 out of 3 guys who were hurt, and maybe they have a chance to still win a round.
Yeah. Okay. So what do you think that's their ceiling would be to win one round now at this point? And if you can go back and if this team at some point were to get fully healthy, now realizing that they can't, but at full strength, what do you think the ceiling was for this team this year?
At full strength, the team just before Randle got hurt, you know, in late January when they went 14-2 that month and their margin of victory was, you know, incredible. They were killing teams. You know, I think they were the second best team in the East. You know, I don't think anyone's beaten Boston, maybe in the whole league when they're at full strength. But, you know, the way the Knicks defended, the way they were scoring there, the confidence they had after adding Adebayo to that lineup, they just felt like they were better than you when they played you. So, you know, it's hard to, you know, not every team has that. So, yeah, I do think if they had stayed healthy, they were a conference finalist this year.
That is an amazing fan base, and they've been dying for a winner for a long time. Watching on TV, it looks like Jalen Brunson is an absolute rock star. How popular is he right now?
Yeah, he really is. And, you know, there's been guys here who obviously, you know, when they play well in New York, people love them. You know, Carmelo and Amari Stoudemire, Jeremy Lin for a couple of weeks. But what Brunson has, I mean, when his name is announced, the people love him. You know, because look, the New York fan base, everyone thinks they want superstars. They're like the Knicks 90s teams, guys like John Starks. These were just hardworking players who were better than maybe you thought they were. And that's what Brunson has become. He's not a, you know, number one draft pick guy. He's just played himself into a star, and the fan base loves that, and that's what he's become, and yeah, he's super popular here.
Brian, when I watch them play, and I see how well Hart's playing and DiVincenzo, and we know Brunson's become a superstar, if they get OG back, I still think that's the second-best team in the East that can challenge Boston. Milwaukee's a 500 team with Doc. The Cavs are inconsistent. We saw what happened last year, losing in five to the Knicks. I don't know what you're going to get out of the 76ers. The Heat have had their issues. Are you agree here? I mean, I still think they can be still get to the conference finals and maybe and challenge Boston and give them the toughest series.
You know, it's possible still that they are the second best team in the East. Like you say, Paul, if I don't know, he comes back. You know, they still, you know, Brunson is, you know, a great player. They shoot the threes pretty well. DiVincenzo's had a great year. Hart, you know, has become almost a triple-double machine. So there's still a lot there. And like you say, look, they overwhelmed Cleveland last year. Orlando, who knows what you have there. Indiana, yep. Who knows what you have there. These are still some teams that you can't be sure of. So, hey, maybe the Knicks still do have a little bit of run in them.
We only have a couple games left in the season, but there's a lot on the line. And who gets the one seed in the West? What happens with Orlando, who can actually catch Milwaukee and get the two, and they play them twice? What do you think's going to happen with Coach of the Year?
You know, it's an interesting vote. You know, I thought all along it was going to be Oklahoma City. You know, when they kind of led the West for a lot early in the year, I thought they were ahead of schedule. But Minnesota, of course, right there, too. It could be whoever wins the West there. Might be one of those two guys. It could be Mosley in Orlando. You know, I think there's, you know, three guys there who all have a great, great case based on, I think, those teams maybe exceeding expectations a bit.
Yeah, I wonder if Denver's, if they can pull this off, Brian. We're talking to Brian Mahoney here, who covers the NBA for the Associated Press. He joins us here on the Progressive Guest Line. If the Nuggets still get the one, that could, in theory, then ding Finch or Daigneault a little bit. And at the same time, if Orlando finishes somehow with the two or the three, maybe Mosley can pull this off.
Yeah, no, I think you're exactly right, because I do think, Rich, there are people saying, okay, I'm going to give it to the winner of the West. And if it's Michael Malone, it's not one of the two guys. If it's not, you know, Finch or if not Daniel, yeah, then maybe people say, okay, look, let's look at Orlando there. And this was not a team we thought was going to be anywhere near a top two or three seed in the East. And that's what they've become. So, yeah, I do think there's a great case there for him as well.
Brian, we get the Mavericks and the Warriors again tonight. This has been quite the turnaround here for Dallas defensively now, going back almost nearly a month at this point. Paulie recently bet the Mavericks to win the Western Conference. That number is getting lower by the day. Are you fully in with this team at this point?
There's a lot I like about them. You know, I thought when they made the two trades, you know, when they got Washington and Gafford, I said, you know, look, Gafford is, you know, a great defensive player. He makes everything at the rim. Washington's a scorer. That was what they obviously didn't have. They couldn't throw the ball inside at all. You know, when you have one of the best backcourts you could possibly put together when Luka and Irving are healthy. So, I mean, I can't rule them out anymore. It's, you know, what did they win? 8 of their last 10. You know, they won the two games they needed to out in Sacramento. They're a great win. So, you know, the West is super tough. It's hard to imagine, you know, making a run from without having home court advantage in any round, which they'd have to do now. But,
yeah.
You know, when you got Luka, you got a chance.
Yep. Do you think Wembanyama has a chance? Defensive player of the year. Do you think it'll be close, all the people you talk to and voters, or will it get, Gobert being on the bench defensive team went out?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I think it's going to be almost, it comes down to, as simple as, is there Gobert voter fatigue in that category, or do people think we're going to eventually have Wembanyama voter fatigue and don't want to vote him now? Because I think it comes down to those two guys. You know, do people say, look, if we give it to Wembanyama now, he's going to win it, like he said, every year going forward. But Gobert, look, what Minnesota's defense has done, you know, it's hard not to pick him again. Certainly, you know, he's had a good individual year. The team has had great success. So, you know, I would think it goes 1-2 in that order if I had to guess now.
So you told us a couple of months ago that you gave up your vote after they made the requirements of players. You know, they had to get there for 65 games this year. You did not like it, so you gave up your vote. If this is an unfair question and you don't want to answer it, I get it. But if you did not give up your vote and you still had it, who would you vote for as of today for that award?
For MVP, Mitch?
No, for Defensive Player of the Year.
Oh, Defensive Player of the Year. I'm sorry. I would vote Gobert. I would go Gobert 1 and Wembanyama 2 and I guess Anthony Davis after that. I think he's had a great year as well. You know, I think, look, if I if he had started this run a little bit earlier, maybe Wembanyama would go. But, you know, San Antonio just had such a miserable start to the year. And, you know, his adjustment to the NBA, obviously he's a rookie. He wasn't playing, you know, fantastic the first few weeks, even months, but lately he's been great. But I think start to finish, I would go Gobert based on, you know, what, again, Minnesota has done and how he's played very well. And I think, you know, the first year he had there in Minnesota was kind of rocky. I don't think it's been that way at all this year. So I'd credit him for that as well.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.